Chapter 3, the book of St. John, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born to the flesh is flesh, and that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, you know, the Lord Jesus is saying something here as to the entrance into the kingdom of God. When we think of the kingdom of God, the way that we think of the kingdom of God is so negative. I know this is kind of hard to get over to you. It's kind of hard to get you to understand. But see, our overseer, Paul the Apostle, the man that had been caught up into the third heaven, this same great master of the Scriptures and of the things of God, he spoke to the people saying that I would that ye were spiritual. I'd love to have you spiritual, he said. Seeing that you are carnal, he said, I can't tell you what I'd like to tell you. He had so much to say. He had such a great understanding. And he wanted to communicate with the people on a spiritual basis, but he didn't know how. Jesus, being a man, just like I'm a man, the Lord Jesus, he was every bit a man, just like I'm a man, had problems. The Bible said that sorrows and heartaches, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, the devil always oppressing him. Paul said, in my heart there's continual sorrow. See, a man just like I'm a man. Peter, a man just like I'm a man. John, James. See, but they got spiritual. And I come to you as one that has tried to find the understanding of the Spirit. And I come to you and I want you to be spiritual. Now you might say, Brother Pike, why do you want me to be spiritual? Because the Bible says that God is a spirit. And Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. See, God is a spirit. If I talk to you about God, then I've got to talk about a spirit. And if I talk about the things of God, I've got to talk about spiritual things. And if I talk to you about the angels of God, he says, I make my angels spirits. So then I've got to talk to you about spirits. And if I can't talk to you about spirits, then I don't do anything for you. Now I try my best to share with you the best that I know how, in my small way, the scriptures, to give you verbatim what the printed page says, to tell you about the Word of God in its printed page, that you might get an intellectual conception of the Word of God. Because if you don't get a natural concept of the Word of God, then that means you're never going to get anything spiritual. This is what made Paul so powerful. Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He'd spent numbers of years in the law, learning the law. He said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin. Said, I'm blameless. Said, when it comes to touching the law, I'm blameless. So then in doing this, he was the right person for what God wanted. God needed somebody that he could pick up right after Calvary, bring them into the third heaven, and bring them in as the overseer of the Gentile church and make them the Lord Jesus manifested to the people. So then, in claiming the scripture as to what the prophets had said, that I've set thee as a light even to the ends of the earth, here comes Paul. And Paul said, it is not I living, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And I brought that out the other night so that some of you could understand what is meant by saying the life that I now live. Because a lot of times we get the wrong concept of that. So I brought it out. And the other night, the last night I believe it was, I brought out some things as pertaining to the shadows of life and the difference between the light and the shadows. And that's why I read this to you tonight. As concerning the light, the difference between lights and shadows. And I could go into a sermon tonight. It would take me all night long to just barely touch on what I'm saying concerning light and shadow. Now, if you're not spiritual, you wouldn't understand. When I finished, you never understand what I'm saying. But this I can tell you, this is a time to tremble and to shake. The Bible said, the man that trembleth at my words, he's the man I will look to. This is the time of trembling and shaking. When you see things like the 700 Club begin to crumble, and you see things so powerful as PTL begin to crumble, it's time to clean your heart up. It's time to clean your mind up. It's time to stop sitting around with an old spirit of suspicion or an old ugly spirit of hatred or malice or covetousness or lust or whatever it might be. It's time to clean up. See, because I tell you again that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You might as well to get away from this intellectual concept of the kingdom of God coming, because all you're going to do is crash up. As long as you're looking for the kingdom of God, as long as you are in observation as to natural sight, and you are looking for the kingdom of God, you're never going to find it. You're never going to find it. It says here in the scriptures that Elijah was coming just before the notable day of the Lord come. And Jesus explains this great day of judgment that's going to burn as an oven. Now, we brought out a little bit concerning that the other night. And I just want to touch on one or two things tonight. And that is concerning this light. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, he goes on to tell us that this is the condemnation that is come into the world. What is the condemnation? The Bible said there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then he tells us, he says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. See, and he says, there is a condemnation that is in the world. This condemnation is not to Brother Pike, because there is no condemnation to me. If you are walking in the light of God, there is no condemnation to you. God has no condemnation to you. The condemnation is not for you. And yet there is a condemnation in the world that is for somebody. So then this is the condemnation that is in the world. That light has come into the world, and ye love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. So then when we start differentiating as to decide what is light and what is darkness, then we get into the shadows. And this is where we come into the shadows. As I said the other night in the message there, this is a great thing concerning shadows. I speak to you maybe tonight in kind of a sporadic sort of a way, maybe not following just one theme because it's getting kind of late. But I make reference back to sermons where I preached that I followed one theme of a certain thing through. And when I refer to these things tonight, you know what I'm saying. When I keep telling you, I say, folks, remember that where there is light, there is no darkness. And where there is darkness, there is no light. And if there be light and darkness, then there is shadows. Wherever there's darkness and light that begins to come together, there are shadows. And this is the thing that we're speaking of. The Bible speaks of the shadows. The shadows. All of a sudden, the evening time shadows are beginning to fall. They sang that song, "The Shadows Are Lengthening." As the sun begins to sink behind the hills, all of a sudden the shadows grow longer. They grow longer. See, the nearer night, the bigger, the more powerful the demon spirits become. Right now, the demon spirits are enlarging themselves, and they are showing themselves in a greater power and a greater strength, because where there's more understanding of God, God requires more. And when we do less, Satan has greater advantage. So then they're bigger. They're getting bigger. And they're overpowering humanity more and more. They're smothering humanity out, because the shadows are beginning to lengthen, because the light is going out more and more. See, we start down a trail. We look out here, and here's the sunshine out here. And we're facing the sunshine. Now, we're all right. See, we're all right because we're facing the sunshine. But if we're going down the trail this way and the sunshine is coming up behind us, then that means that the devils, the demon spirits, are in front of us and we can't get around the shadow. And that's the way it's been. Man is born into the world in sin. He's coming away from the light of God. He left the garden. He failed from the light of God. And he's going away from the light of God, which means that the light is behind him and the devils and demons are in front of him. Whereas that's not what God wants. He tells you and I to get into the light, to walk in the light as he's in the light, and then say to the shadows of the Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. So then we see the shadows lengthening. We see the shadows, they're in front of us. And we're trying to turn around. This is like people out in the world. The shadow's in front of them. They'll never get around that shadow. The valley of the shadow of death. That's death. See, and that shadow is coming from the intellectual reasoning of darkness, wherein that is the way that Satan hath blinded them. For the Bible said, Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world, he hath blinded their eyes that they cannot see. Even when we ask God, what does he mean, blind the eyes? Then we hear the Holy Spirit say, the eyes of understanding. Paul said that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights and the depths and the width. See, so Satan, Lucifer, the prince of this world, he has blinded their eyes with the shadows. They're walking in darkness. They can't see the light. They've got their back to the light, and they're going just exactly the opposite way. So then the Lord, what he does, he keeps calling to us. He keeps cooing at us. He keeps trying to get us to turn around. And the Bible said, surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And after a while, God gets our attention. When he gets our attention, then we turn around. When we turn around, all of a sudden, the shadows are no longer in front of us. We're looking at that light, and the shadows are then behind us. See, we're not in darkness anymore. The scales fall from our eyes like it did Paul when the great light came. And he heard the voice saying, go down to the street called Straight, Paul. Be baptized. You know, calling upon the name of the Lord, the man said, and wash away your sins. So, this is what we read to you tonight. When we come to this, when the preacher begins to talk to us, here Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he's saying, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. Remember now, this is one man talking to another man. This man says to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, now you come to me. And Nicodemus went by night, you know, they didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. So he come to Jesus and he began to say, you know, I believe you're the master, tell me something. And Jesus said to him, one man to another, said, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. You know, I won't go through all of the things that Jesus could have told him about the law and whatever and how that he was in error, how he was under the shadow of the cross there and he was still over there under the shadow of the law. Paul said the types and the shadows, the law having a shadow of the good things to come, could never make the coming thereunto perfect. See, and being under the shadow of the law, Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. Said, you're never going to find the kingdom of God by your ritualistics. Those things that you're doing, your own righteousness. And Jesus began to expound certain things to him, and Nicodemus didn't understand. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a master in Israel? That is, are you a great leader in Israel? And people look to you and you don't understand the things that I'm talking about? And that's when Jesus told him. Jesus said, remember, no man has ever went into heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. Are you listening? No man has ever went up there except the Son of Man that came down from heaven, he said, and who is in heaven. Now, right there we could say a whole lot because somebody said, well, now what happened to Moses? What happened to Elijah? What happened to Enoch? Now that's a good question right there. See, a lot of times we think we know something and we don't know something as we ought to know. So then, he says, here he stands and Nicodemus is looking at him. And he's a man. He's nothing more than a man standing there. And Nicodemus is a man. And Nicodemus is looking at him. You know, if Brother Taylor came up to me and he said, now, Brother Pike, I've been to heaven. I've come down from heaven. And he said, you know, he would say, Brother Pike, you know what? I'm still in heaven. I'd say, now, look, see here, Brother Taylor, we need to talk some things over. And I'd try to help Brother Taylor because I'd feel like he was in bad shape. See, one man comes up to another man. And here they are in that primitive day way back there. And this man comes up to him. And Nicodemus knows that his father's Joseph, his mother's Mary. And he looks at him, he thinks, now wait a minute, you're talking about being in heaven? Well, the man must be eccentric. There's something wrong with the man. See, and even way over here in this far advanced stage, here we are talking about the heavenly things, talking about spiritual things, and folks don't understand. See, Jesus, he turns to some of the people, and he said, now let me tell you what to do. Okay, you're the master, you leaders. Okay, Jesus said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, he lost his congregation. He lost his congregation. They could understand if they said, well, we're going to have a feast and we're going to kill a lamb or bullocks. But see, here was a man talking to them. But they wasn't spiritual and they didn't know that that was a lamb. And they didn't know that that was God's lamb of the evening time. And that they were going to have to feed off of him. Because he said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in it. See, not being spiritual. People are not spiritual. You know, they want to shout, jump, holler, run, scream. They want to do all of these natural things so that they can say, well, bless God, I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt something. That's good. That's wonderful. I like to do that. But see, we come to church to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then here we are. We look at it and we're talking about a condemnation that is in the world. What kind of condemnation is it? That light is coming to the world. Light is coming to the world. Light is understanding. Understanding is at last in the world. God has at last brought a God understanding into the world. And you don't want that understanding. You'd like to shout, you'd like to jump, and I say that because a lot of people hear my voice outside of you that are looking at me, radio and whatever. See, you don't want to do that. You want to shout, you want to jump, you want to holler, but you don't want to live right. See, you can just shout your shoe heels off, shout your curls down, you know, your pigtails out. But you don't want to live for God. When it comes to being holy, when it comes to being godly, when it comes to staying away from the TV and the non-virtuous things and the magazines and the non-virtuous things, staying away from the newspapers and the ball games, and I don't mean to get to preaching at you and hollering at you. But when it comes to these things, you don't want to do it, do you? You don't want to do that. When it comes to fasting and praying and self-denial, when it comes to listening to the minister and getting in with a group of people and conforming to the right thing, you don't want to do that. You've got other plans. You want to go your way. You want to do your own thing. See, that's exactly the way Nicodemus was. Nicodemus had his own plans. He wanted to do what the Jews were doing. He wanted to go their way. So he slips in by night. And he figures, now, just in case this thing is right, I'll get it on the side over here. See, and I'll hold on to the other two. This is why Paul blamed Peter to his face. Paul said, now look, you can't go two ways. You can't serve two masters. He said, Peter, you was with the Gentiles, and here comes the Jews, and you get scared, and you run over there with the Jews. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. They may kill me, Paul could have said, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to line up with what's right. So then, this is where we're at. Nicodemus needed to line up. There's a lot of people in the world today that needs to line up. See, you want to do a great work for God. You want to be a great Christian. You want to be a great person. You want to be famous. You want to be PTL. You want to be 700 Club. You want to be everything but what God wants you to be. What God wants you to do is go down to the street called Straight, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin and the simplicity of the gospel, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. For he said to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. He said, if a man is not born again, he's not even going to see the kingdom of God. You stand there talking to me, Nicodemus, like a man. I stand here talking to you like a man. He said, unless you get farther along than you are right now, he said, you're not going to even see the kingdom of God. Like the two men that stood in the temple, and one said, I fast, and he said, I pray, and I do this. You know, a lot of people like to say, I fast, and I pray, and I do this, you know, and I've done that. But the other man was just beating on his chest and, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, have mercy on me, Lord. The Lord spoke to him, and the Bible said that this man that just called on the name of the Lord went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? Because he said, lest your righteousness exceed your self-doings, your self-discipline, lest your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes. He said, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. He said, I've got another righteousness, even the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This God righteousness that I've wrought by my own works and by my own blood. This is the righteousness that you need. being found not with your righteousness, but with his righteousness. Your righteousness is not worth 15 cents. All of the fasting, all of the praying, it doesn't matter if you stay all day and all night, it ain't worth 15 cents. Doesn't do. Somebody says, oh, bless God, it does. I tell you, in the name of the Lord, it don't do you one bit of good. Now, you think it over. I tell you this a lot of times. Just because you've got an empty belly, what good does that do God? Because you went 10 days with an empty belly, what good does that do God? Or how does that make you spiritual? You're just hungry, just like anybody else. You've done without your food. And if you pray, you can pray all night long. The Bible said they make long prayers for pretense. You can pray all day long. You can pray 36 hours without stopping. When you get through, what good does that do God? All you've done is just got a sore throat, hollered about 36 hours, and you don't amount to a hill of beans. But God is a spirit. You can study your Bible. You can read until you read from one cover to another. It doesn't do you any good whatsoever. As a matter of fact, you're in worse shape when you get through than you was to start with. Because God is a spirit. God is abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. It's above all of your study, above all of your knowledge, above all that you can ask in prayer. See, in the Bible said we don't know what to pray for anyway. But the Spirit that searcheth the hearts maketh intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, and intercedes accordingly. The Holy Spirit does that. The Christ Spirit does that. See, and they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I'm the works of God. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. You're sanctified by the faith within, that is within me. Your righteousness is of me. I'm your righteousness. See, you don't need the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean that we shouldn't pray? We shouldn't fast? I tell you this so often, the Bible says that you should pray often. The minister should fast often. You know, we should live a life of prayer and fasting. We should cast down every thought. We should bring into subjection to Jesus Christ every thought to his obedience. We should live a perfect life, add to our life godliness, brotherly love, charity, holiness, walk perfect before it. But beloved friend, when you do all of that, you've done exactly nothing. Remember that. When you've done all of that, you've done exactly nothing. Not anything at all. Not, you've not merited one thing if you've done that for 50 years. Oh, somebody says, I know better. Okay, show it to me in the Bible. The Jews did that all of their life and all of their generation just to have God to say, away with that. I'm tired of your fasting. I'm tired of your holy days. I'm tired of all those things. And the Bible said the man that had done nothing, the Gentiles, went down to the house justified while the rest of them was turned out of his presence. So then we're not to do those things hoping to obtain righteousness, hoping to obtain the favor of God. That's foolishness. Going about to establish your own righteousness, you stumble at the sanctification of faith of Jesus Christ. So then, what must I do? I must believe in him. I must love him. I must praise him. This is why that I love to praise the Lord. This is why I feel like praising God. You know, I say this so often. If I'm doing everything, if everything's left up to me and it's my works, my fasting and my praying, what do I want to praise God for? I don't have any reason to praise God. Paul said, if you're doing the works, then you have reason to boast. See, why do I want to say, hallelujah, glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? I say, hallelujah, glory to Brother Pike. He's the one that's doing it. Why not? Somebody says, well, that wouldn't be right. Well, I think it would be. Because Paul said, in a good thing, I praise you. And if I'm doing a good thing, then somebody ought to praise me. That's the way the Bible reads. Oh, bless God, I won't never do it. I know, because you won't never go. You won't never go. You're on the wrong side of the hill. But see, here is something, brethren, that I'm trying to tell you. I praise the Lord because my righteousness is of God. I don't have any righteousness. All of my righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. I don't have anything to offer him. I don't have any works to offer him. You say, well, you never fasted and prayed? What's that got to do with it? Go away with him a number of days and not even come back. Just stay there and talk to him for a number of days at a time. I've done it day and night. Leave my wife and all of them. Well, what's that got to do with it? See, that doesn't have nothing to do with it at all. I never merited anything. I never made any contacts. I never done anything. I just found myself tired and weary. Glad to get back home to my wife. So then, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that I praise God for a reason. I see people a lot of times in the Pentecostal churches, I see people and they say, praise the Lord, glory to God, Brother Pike, hallelujah, I love Jesus, in their nonchalant-like way. I think, now, why would they do that? There's no enthusiasm about it. There's no reality about it. But then I think, I hear the Lord speak to me, and I think, no wonder they do that. Because as far as they're concerned, they're the tired, weary prayer. They're the tired, weary faster. They're the ones, you know, they've done all of these things, and it's so hard, they say. But praise God, 35 years I've held on, Brother Pike. You know, you've held on all right. But it'd be good if you'd let go of what you've been holding to. See, but when you find somebody, like maybe in your early experience, you know, you come to the Lord. The Bible speaks of leaving your first love. See, and you come to the Lord, and you're dirty. You say, oh my God, I'm so dirty. I'm so filthy. I'm so unclean. I'm such a nothing. And the Lord says, but I love you. I so loved you while you were yet out in your sins that I died for you. And you say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the name of Jesus. And we shout and jump, have a good time. And about 10 years later, you know, we done lived a good life now. So you say, hallelujah, Jesus, I'm doing it too. You know, we thank you for what you contribute to us. Folks, I tell you what, we need to get back to our first love. I praise the Lord. I give glory to God. Though I believe in fasting, I believe in praying, I believe in doing everything that I can to love the Lord and to show Him my gratitude. I just love Him with all of my heart, all of my strength, all of my mind. And I praise Him. Why do I praise Him? Because He died for me. I couldn't get to heaven without Him. I wouldn't have no salvation. So then I praise Him because what He did gave me health, gave me my family, gave me my happiness, gave me everything I've got. I don't have anything but what He gave me. So I get to thinking about it and I say, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, because I've got something to praise Him for. So then Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, He was saying, look, boy, you better get away from that self-righteousness. You better get born again, because I'm telling you that you're never going to see the kingdom of God. Never. See, you Pentecostal people especially, and you different people that are so self-righteous. The Bible said, more holy than me. Get away from me. You're never going to see the kingdom of God. You are right now, hundreds and millions of church people in the world today, all over the world, are sitting waiting for some kind of rapture to take place, or something to catch them away. And they're sitting there waiting on Thessalonians chains as to the rapture, just waiting patiently for God to catch them away. Because they say, I belong to this church, and I belong to this church, and I've been doing this, and I've been doing this for years, and is waiting for God to catch them away. You know, whether it's from the Bulldogs or wherever they're at. They're waiting to be caught away. Some at the pool tables, some down along the beach, some over there at the ball games, the Red Devils and the Yellow Jackets and whatever. Just waiting for God to catch them away. Folks, you know that's foolishness. You know God isn't going to do that. It don't make no difference if you're Assembly of God. It don't make no difference if you're Church of God. You say, but Brother Pike, we've got a great church. I know that. You had a great church. You started off with a great church. Now all you've got is a name that you live when you're dead. And some of you twice dead and plucked up by the roots. So then when we think about this, it's a true fact that you are a religious person. But folks, there ain't going to be no days like that. Jesus said, Nicodemus, let's look at it like it is. Unless you get born again, He said, you're never going to even see the kingdom of God. The first step, folks, is to get born again. You've got to get born again. Like I was talking to two or three people the other day. These people have been very religious, just as religious as they could be. And I didn't want to hurt them. I've let them go for numbers of days, months. I haven't said anything to them, but it isn't hid from me. Though they be ever so religious, it isn't hid from me. I know what they're doing. And there comes a time when I have to turn to some of them, like I did to these. And I said, look, let's face the issue. I said, you ain't ever even been born again. And I said, let's look at it like it is. I said, you got sin in your life, and I know what kind of sin you got in your life. And then, of course, a lot of times they fall on their knees and they weep and they say, it's true. And they cry and they're tore up. Why is that? Because you don't see the kingdom of God until you're born again. See, I was born into this world. I couldn't see this world until I got born into this world. And then I begin to see this world. And folks, unless you're born into the other world, how are you going to see the other world? See, you've got a life in this world, and you see this world. But if you're going to get into that world, you've got to be born into that world. And then if you're going to see anything in that world, you've got to be born into it to where you can see it in that world. Isn't that right? So then I say to you, lest you be born again. Jesus said, Nicodemus, let's look at it like it is. Unless you're born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. How do you agree that's right? See, unless you're born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born into the kingdom of God to ever see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, he said, you'll never see the kingdom. He said, you've got to be born to the Spirit. You know, we have a water birth. Jesus said, unless you be born of the water and of the Spirit. There's a water birth. Whereas you're born into this world by means of man and woman. See, but there is a spiritual birth. And Jesus said, lest you be born of the water and of the Spirit, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. You've got to get born again. You've got to be born to the Spirit if you want to see the kingdom of God. You were born one time of the water. The word here, born, also indicates that you was carried like that. Now then you're carried by the Spirit. See, you're born by the Spirit and you're born again into the kingdom of God. So then, now we're in the kingdom of God. I've been born into the kingdom of God. Now, if I'm born into the kingdom of God, folks, then that means I'm not trying to get into the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? These people out here, many of them in the religious world, they're sitting there, they're saying, I love the Lord. I've got God. I've been born again, they say. Say, well, where are you at? Well, I'm just sitting around down here, whatever, you know, passing the time. And one of these days, God is going to come for me. And God is going to take me into his lovely kingdom, right into the kingdom of heaven we're going. That don't add up. See, that don't add up. How is it that John said, now, beloved, we are the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How is it that we feel that way, and then we say that we are sons of God? You couldn't be sons of God unless you were born again. And if you was born again, you'd be in the kingdom of God. Because when you're born into the other world. Come on, folks, are you listening to me? Are you following me? I said, you couldn't be born again and not be in heaven. Somebody say, praise the Lord, or oh me, or something. Everybody that believes you could be born again and not be in heaven, I want to see your hand. There is no such thing. See, could you be born into life and not be in this world? Could you? Of course not. When you're born into life, you're in this world. When you're born again, where are you? Where are you? You are born into the kingdom of God. Because new birth means that you entered into heaven. You are now creature in heaven. The Bible said, for God, through the new birth, by the washing of regeneration, God hath, right now, talking about right now, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the new birth has been taught. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, there's a door open in heaven. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, men pressed their way into the kingdom of God, pressing against the flesh, the continual warfare. So then you've been born again. He said, Nicodemus, let's face it, I'm in heaven and you're not. Now, he didn't say it like that, did he? But that's what he was saying. See, not adding to the scripture, but you narrow it all down, and you'll find out that Jesus said, Nicodemus, let's look at the thing the way it is. You've never been born again. That's where the problem is. That's why you don't understand. I'm talking to you about these things, he said, and you don't understand these things. It's for sure that you ain't going to understand no heavenly things. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. See, it doesn't matter how much I preach, folks, even if I'm a preacher. Paul said, if I don't keep unto my body, then I'll be a castaway. So after I preach to others. So it doesn't matter if I'm a preacher, if I'm not spiritual, if I've not really been born again. Oh, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you couldn't preach it. You know, yes, I could. Yes, I could. The ministers of Satan transform themselves into ministers of the word of light, or into ministers of light, which is the word of understanding. And Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Oh, there's a lot could be said right there. So then it is a true fact that though we would dwell among the shadows, and though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, yet he's with me. His rod and staff, his word and spirit, they are my consolation. And this valley that I'm in, these demon spirits of shadows that's over this valley, God looking down from the hilltop of glory, I pass through this valley. But I said the other night, God sees me from mountaintop to mountaintop. He sees me from the mountaintop of Calvary, where Jesus has made my sin, to the mountaintop of the translation of Thessalonians change, where I am an image of righteousness, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then it's so beautiful to know that we've escaped the condemnation because we're not in the flesh. So there is a condemnation in the world. What is the condemnation? Here comes Jesus, the Christ man. He says to the people, he says, there is a condemnation in the world, folks. And this is the condemnation, the preacher said, that light has come into the world. I'm the light of the world. Understanding has come. I've come into the world. Light has come to you. You understand now. You know better now than to do those things. But he said, you still love the intellectual way of life. You still love darkness rather than light. He said, there's only one reason, and that's because your deeds are evil. You are a creature of darkness. And you won't come to the light because you know that the light will reprove you. But when we look at this and when we think of these things, then we know that Jesus was saying that a man that is born again is already in heaven. We might as well face it, folks. Somebody says, praise God, I'm waiting for that rapture to take place. Well, get on board, little children. Get on board, little children. The song says, get on board. You better get on board. You say, but I'm waiting, Brother Pike. That rapture's going to take place. I'm telling you, you better get on board. Let me tell you something. The translation of God is already taking place. Oh, somebody says, you're crazy, Brother Pike. No, I'm not crazy. The Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm waiting for the rapture. All right, fine. Our overseer, Paul the Apostle, he reminds us that the seventh one from Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He didn't say nothing about no rapture. And the Bible said, for God hath already right now translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Somebody said, well, what does that mean, Brother Pike? You pass from death unto life. I brought it out the other night. You pass from death unto life. You're never going to die. A child of God can't die. See, you've been born into heaven. You've been born into the kingdom of God. Once you get in there, you can't die. The reason is because you can't sin. If a person could sin, they could die. But you can't die out of that world. That's impossible. You can't die. Somebody said, well, bless God, I die out of this world, Brother Pike. I know you die out of this world, but you die out of this world because you don't have eternal life. But brother, in that world, when you get in there, when you're born in there, you've got eternal life. You can't die out of that world. There ain't no death in that world. Death is cut off at Calvary. When that door is open for you to go into there, like the door was open in heaven that John saw, see, when you get the door open to go into the kingdom of God, the very day that you're translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, death is forever behind you. There's never no more death. That's why I preached the sermon the other night, Jesus coming to make an end of sin. If he came to make an end of sin, then there can't be any more death. No more law, no more transgression, no more sin, no more death. He came to make an end of sin. He came to make an end of the transgression. He came to make an end of death. So somebody says, well, bless God, I just don't believe it like that. I can't see it like that. I don't have it like that. Well, get all frustrated, you know, and all nervous and get all upset. But when you finish your little frenzy, it still says the same thing. When you get all your doctrinal points together and you go back to your whatever you believe in, you're going to find out the Bible says the same thing. It hasn't changed at all. You understand what I'm saying? It's like a woman. Sometimes the wife, she'll get upset. She'll pull your hair. She'll slam the door. She'll throw the coffee pot at you. Whatever. Because you got her upset. Most of the time, the man's to blame. He gets her upset. You know, she's the weaker vessel. We're told to give honor to her as the weaker vessel. But we keep on, finding she explodes and can't nobody settle her down. You know, but it's like I said, when she spews like a Roman candle, when she turns up the coffee pot and she's done broke the lamp over your head, when she gets through, the Bible still says, wives, obey your husbands. See, it didn't change in a bit. She's just got it to read. So, see, do you believe in being born again? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're never going to see the kingdom of God until you're born again. There ain't no way. I say it again. You can't see this world unless you're born into it. So then, if you are born again, then can't you with Jesus say, I'm in heaven? Can't you with Jesus say, I'm in heaven? See, Christ stood there saying, I'm in heaven, because he never had left heaven. You say, how do you know he'd never left heaven, Brother Pye? Because he'd never sinned. He'd never entered into this world to sin. There was not one thing that he ever done where his spirit entered into this world to sin. So then, he never did leave heaven. He just tabernacled in this human body, took this human body up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I've been there, I'm sure some of you have. When he got up there, he just appeared in heaven, right there with Moses and Elijah. See, and his raiment glistened. Why, he had never left heaven to start with. You understand what I'm saying? And when we're born again, then we go back into heaven. We've left heaven. But when we're born again, we go back in heaven. That is to say, we're not absent from heaven in the foreknowledge of God. But we are as to natural definement. See, this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. The rent veil at Calvary, brought to light at Calvary, preached down through the church ages to bring us to that sevenfold light which we are coming into right at this present time. So folks, let me tell you again, in this little sermonette here, we've tried to bring a number of things for the radio listeners and for the audience, for the different ones. Let me say this to you. Believe me when I tell you that there is no more sin. Believe me that that is the truth. For if there was sin, I tell you, if there was sin in the sight of God, God would take these people in Monroe, these people in Georgia and California and Germany, and God would make a bloodbath like you've never dreamed of. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, read it over there in the book of Revelation. Just as quick as the blood comes off the seat of atonement, the Bible said the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. If you don't believe I'm telling you right, it's just because the blood is on the seat of atonement that he cannot see any sin. Christ made an end of sin. And as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, it's an end of sin for them people. They are in the second heaven. They have medical aid. They can stop pain. That's a heaven. And I say it so often, if you don't believe it, wait till you get to hell. And then you'll look back and know that you was in heaven. You'll be able to differentiate between the two. You're in the second heaven. The church is in the second heaven. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. See, and we could say a lot about the first, second, and third heaven. But I'm just saying this one thing, and I'm going to try to find a place to close. See, this thing is real. We've done got way down the trail. Why is it that people like Jim Baker's folding up? Pat Robinson, the different ones. Why is it that they're doing that? The Bible said they do that in the last days. Even some of them that have knowledge would fall. See, we're down at the end time and the shadows are lengthening. See, and God has not let Jim Baker, Pat Robinson, and the others fall away because it would have destroyed the little ones. There was a lot of little babies caught in that. And God would not do it. And I made the statement He would not do it. I said, until the day when they grow up, or God can bring out enough light to where they can look around and see what's going on, I said, and then He'll take these men off the scene. He'll take them off. He's doing it. He's doing it. See, that means it's late, folks. It's way down the trail. It's late. So that means that the end of the world is here. And I tell you, in the name of the Lord, there's no need of you sitting around looking for a rapture. There ain't no need of you sitting around expecting some kind of a supernatural thing to take place as to a rapture and expecting to go with God in the translation, because there is no Bible for that. I challenge anybody anywhere in the world to give me one scripture for that. There is no such thing. Our translation is by faith, as it was with Enoch, as to our spiritual being into the kingdom of God, and that's right now. And the judgment, and the only judgment that you're ever going to see, is what's being brought to you by the minister. The Bible said that judgment shall begin in the house of God, and the Bible said the minister will remit your sins, or he will retain your sins. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. So then the judgment will begin at the house of God. And the Bible said it not be the minister speaking, but God within His temple. And they shall all be taught of God. And it shall be God speaking. And according to your faith in the God voice, as to the words of this holy book that I speak to you from, called the Bible, according to your faith in it, according to your believing in it, it takes away your sins, or it retains your sins. When I preach the word of faith, it cometh, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. How can they hear lest they have a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? So then when God speaks to you, thus comes the word of God. You hear the word of God. If you believe in it, then you pass from death unto life. If you don't believe in it, then he binds your sins to you and he curses you. He has the power to curse you. I say this so often. The Bible said, will you not be afraid, seeing that he is the minister of God, and he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil? For he is God's revenger. And yet he's there to bless you if you will do what he tells you to do. He can remit your sins. Like Paul, when he spoke to them people, Peter spoke to them people, they lost their life like that, or they become blind like that. See, you can curse them, or you can bless them. The Bible said, whosoever he curses shall be cursed. Whosoever he blesses shall be blessed. And you can turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Paul said, when you come together, turn such a one over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. See, and I tell you again, it's not like people tell you. Somebody say, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, you know, and God's just going to tear him up into the flesh, but God's going to save him in the spirit. Don't get no junky ideas like that in your mind. That wasn't what God was talking about at all. Paul said, I hear that there be some among you, so much as not even named among the Gentiles and whatever. And he said, that is that there be fornication. And he went on to describe it. He said, now when you come together and you have this people in here with you, he said, turn such one over to the devil. He said, don't leave him in there. That rotten limb will corrupt the whole tree. Cut it off. Turn him over to the devil and let the devil destroy him. So that the spirit, which means the spirit in the church, may be saved in the day of judgment. Because the life of the tree will be lost if you don't get that rotten limb off. And you want to save the church so that the spirit will remain in the church. Because God won't fellowship iniquity. And that one come in, the members suffer, they all suffer. And all of them become corrupt. And God will leave the whole church. All right, so then we're saying to you there's a condemnation that has come into the world. And that condemnation is that men love darkness rather than light. See, you hear me, you see me, the world sees me, they hear me, and they know that they shouldn't do the things that they do. They know that they shouldn't do them. But see, they go on doing them anyway. So then Jesus said, this is the condemnation. In the day of the judgment, the Heavenly Father will condemn you on the basis that light came to you, understanding came to you, and you wouldn't honor it and you wouldn't obey it. That's the only thing that you'll be condemned over. All of the other that you call sin and whatever, it's just a follow-up. It's just the attributes of unbelief. But that's the one thing that you'll be condemned over. So then, seeing that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he was saying, Nicodemus, if you want to go to heaven, I'm saying to you people over here in this 20th century or right here at it, I'm saying to the audience of those that hear my voice, I'm saying that if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be born into heaven. You've got to be born again. You can't join a church. You've got to be born again to get into heaven. And I'm saying to you that when you are born again, that you pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation, not even the condemnation that God will bring up to them, those that he will condemn in the day of judgment. Not even that condemnation. That is, you're not in the flesh. You're not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. You're born a living soul in this world. And by the body of Jesus you died because of sin. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But the life I now live is the God life. I have the God life. Now in my life from Adam is gone. I now have the God body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I've now passed from death unto life. And I say this again, when we say death, I'm speaking of the second death. We're passed from the second death. We'll never go into the lake of fire. Well, our soul will never die. Today we're not a living soul, we are a quickening spirit. How do you believe that? See, you are a quickening spirit. You are born to the Spirit, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are a quickening spirit. There is no such thing as you dying, because the Bible said in heaven, you are equal to the angels, and angels cannot die. Even demon spirits, fallen angels, have to be destroyed. God has to destroy them. There's no such thing as death with the Spirit. Death is in the flesh. All right, we could say a whole lot of things about the sleep and whatever, but you've got it on tape where we've approached it from that thought. And I just want to instill this within you tonight. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. Calling on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins. See, you've got to be buried with him, raised with him in the resurrection. So, what do? We say, and the shadows are gone. The fullness of time at Calvary. I preached this the other night. So the shadows are gone. If the shadows are gone, then we sing that song, and time shall be no more, no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For with the fullness of time, it took away the shadows. There is no more shadow of death. There is no more shadows, and you can't have time without shadows. Go back and check the origination of time, and you'll find out it took shadows in the little dial clock to ever bring time. See, and if there is no shadows, there is no time. And I say this again, as I said the other night, in time, there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. But when you're born again in heaven, there's no time to be born, there's no time to die. Once you get into heaven, that's it. See, there is no time in heaven. You come in. Somebody said, well, I come in at a certain time, Brother Pike, when I was born again. The Bible said this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. So then you come into that which is your inheritance. And so then if your new birth is on a certain day, you say May the 25th. All right, so you set a time on it. But folks, you was always eternal. Something doesn't become eternal. You don't just take something and make it eternal. You was always eternal. If you are born as a son of God, you came from the loins of your father. And he was the eternal spirit. And you are an eternal son of God. And the Bible said as many as were foreordained unto eternal life. When Paul preached, they believed. That's the only true believers. There ain't going to be nobody but the predestinated that believes this. They can't. They might make believe, but to believe this, they have to be foreordained unto eternal life. And as many was foreordained, believed. That's why we preach to you, as many as been foreordained, then you're going to believe. The others are not. All right, let's stand together. Where are we at tonight? I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to feel bad because you don't raise your hand because I know some of you don't understand. You're afraid you'll make your face shipwreck. And it's, buddy, you don't raise your hand because you don't understand. But tonight, everyone that sincerely in their heart believes that they are in heaven tonight, I'd like to see your hand. I believe that I'm in heaven. Okay, now, let me say this. Do you believe there is a kingdom of God? Do you believe that the law and the prophets were until John and that kingdom has then been preached? Why would the kingdom be preached? Why should we be preaching about the kingdom? See, and why did Peter open the doors to the Jews and to the Gentiles? What kind of door? I mean, what kind of door did he open? He opened a door somewhere. Somebody said, well, he opened a door so they could be saved. What do you mean? What's your definition about being saved? The Bible said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Ain't nobody going to endure except the predestinated. See, they were saved before the world ever was. Naturally going to endure. They're sealed by the Heavenly Father. Has the Heavenly Father sealed. And the Bible said the seal of God stands sure. God knows which ones are his. So then the kingdom of God, it was the door to the kingdom of God that was open. And since that time they preached an open door into the kingdom of God. And that open door is who? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, I say that thou art the Christ. And Jesus said in so many words, Peter, you found the door. You found the door. I'm the door to the sheepfold. You found the door. So you realize that my outer man is a door. And this veil must be rent that I've made in myself twain. I'm going to separate the Lord from the Christ, the body from the spirit. Here's the key. Now that you've found it, go open it, both to the Jews and the Gentiles. So, what is the door? Same door that Peter opened just a few short years later on the Isle of Patmos. John, the third chapter of the church age is ending. He went into the heavens. He went through the door. Immediately after Peter opened that door, Paul went through that door up into the third heaven. So then we say that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. Now, if he translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God, then into means that we're on the inside. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Stop me if it ain't right, because you'll have the blood of all these people on your hand. If I say this and you're standing here and you can prove I'm wrong, and if I am wrong and you don't do it, you'll have their blood on your hand. The Bible said, watchmen, what of the night? You see the enemy coming and don't warn the people? Said, then I'll require the blood at your hand. So then somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that's the kingdom of God. We're talking about heaven. Jesus said the kingdom of God. One place he said it's the kingdom of heaven. Said the kingdom of God's on the inside of you. Said the kingdom of heaven's on the inside of you. One and the same. Isn't that right? So then where are we tonight? Our inner man is in the Spirit of Christ, which means that we've been translated into heaven. My spirit, by faith, has been translated into the kingdom of God. And I'm growing in that grace and knowledge. I'm sealed so that the evil one can't touch me. He never touches me. For he that is born of God cannot sin. The Bible said he keepeth himself, and the evil one never touches him. So then that means that my inner man, sealed into the kingdom of God, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, as to the understanding of the word, faith by the hearing, I am moving as to the inner man into the outer man to bring the Thessalonian change. See, there is something that's happening. I said the other night, if the world is within you, for God said he hath placed the world within your heart, then the kingdom of God is to the mind of Christ, confronting your mind as to your birth in the natural as to being born of Adam, and your spirit from the genes of Adam, that there is another conflicting spirit that has become interwoven with you and your spirit as to your first birth. That's an infiltration in your flesh. And these are the shadows, demon spirits that fall across your path. And God is trying to eliminate those shadows without hurting your spirit or without hurting your body, for your body is His temple, to get out the infiltration. And as the woman that takes the garment and puts it into the Clorox or into the detergent or into the bleach, as the woman does the garment to get the spots out, so is God, by the washing of regeneration and the blood of Jesus as to the baptism in His name, God is washing out the spots, telling you to put ye on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As many have been baptized into Him, have put on Christ. And He's telling you to put ye on the Lord, because if you appear in there before Him without that garment, you're going to be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. And I tell you, you can get in. You don't have to go through the door. You can get in by the blood and the grace of God on this, in this age. The blood is on the seat of atonement, and you can get into those spiritual places. You can shout, you can jump. The Bible said you can be made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You can taste of the power of God, the Word of God, the powers of the world to come, and still fall away. You can still do it. You can come right in. And if you do it, then He said you'd have to answer to Him for it. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no preparations for the flesh, fulfill the lust thereof, then you go in with the wedding garment, the raiment that's been tried in the fire, Jesus, who passed through the chambers of death and hell. So, brethren, tonight, you as to the inner man, having passed from death unto life, you as to the inner man that cannot sin, that cannot be spotted, you as the inner man, as the sons of God already, that's what you are, you as the spiritual sons of God, tabernacling in these little bodies. Remember, Peter said, we've borne the image of the earthly as to Adam. Now we're going to bear the image of the heavenly as to Jesus, which is the heavenly tabernacle of God, His body, the quickening spirit. We're going to that change. We're moving toward it. And this is why we preach the mystery. He shall not all sleep. Somebody is going to come into this knowledge. Somebody's going to come into this understanding. And when they do, their faith is going to do them just like Enoch. We're all moving toward that right now, the mystery of Paul. Moving toward that where we'll escape the grave. Moving toward it right now. All right, let's sing together, can we? Down at the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God, because you see the kingdom of God through your eyes of understanding. For the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here or there, the Jews missed it, because they looked for it with human observation. So then you cannot receive the kingdom of God unless you receive it by faith. And it is something that you inherit. The Bible said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. It's something that you inherit. It comes into your spirit. Spirit inherits spirit. So then, if it doesn't come by observation, then that means you cannot see the kingdom of God, because it don't come by observation, Jesus said to Nicodemus. You cannot see it. But when you are born again, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, Paul said, to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length, then you see the kingdom of God. Satan, even Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded your eyes, even the eyes of your understanding, the Bible said, that you can't see when good cometh. But when the scales fall from your eyes, as it was with Paul, then you find the street called straight. You wash away your sins, you're born into the kingdom. And from that time on, you begin to get revelation. I've heard people say, you know, after I was baptized in Jesus' name, something happened to me. It looked like a veil come off of my mind. See, what it was, it wasn't being baptized in Jesus' name that caused the veil to come off of your eyes. You just wasn't born again. And you got born again. And when you did, you went into the kingdom of God, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus to receive the wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost. The veil is taken away, the veil of death, even the intellectual shadows. Now, we don't see through that glass darkly as to the intellectual veil, but we see eye to eye. We see face to face. We see Him as He really is. Somebody say hallelujah. So then, we're getting nearer to translation, the rapture. Remember, think it over, folks. Think it over. Let's sing this little chorus together. The altars are open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me now. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross. For you, have you got your eyes open now? You can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. See, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Not religious, not just the believer. The Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you ain't been born again, you're not of His. See, when His Spirit goes into your spirit and your spirit goes into His Spirit, then your eyes of understanding come open. Now you're a human, you're a spiritual being, an angelic being, tabernacling in a human body. And tonight, if you want to see the kingdom, if you want to see these heavenly things that I speak of, if you want to see this great revelation, see God as He is, if you want to enter into this God world, this world of translation, into the spiritual dimension, then you got to be spiritual. Speak unto you as unto spirits. Spiritual beings. And the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might be able to comprehend. So then there is no kingdom of God by observation, beloved friend. All of the world and all that you see by observation is lying vanity. It must pass away. If you could see the kingdom of God by observation, then it would have to pass away. Well, the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word is spirit, Jesus said, it's life. It shall never pass away. So I can't see the kingdom of God with these natural eyes. I say this so often. My natural eyes, they say there's 22 conductive nerves from my eye to the brain. My little old eye nerves could never see that. Paul just saw the great light with his eye nerves and he went blind like that. He just went blind. They couldn't take it. See, so it's this great, wonderful sight, this great, wonderful vision, this great, wonderful understanding. It's the eyes of understanding, that other man, that inner spiritual man with his inner spiritual ears and his inner spiritual sight. The prophet spoke so often, speaking of this. And then Jesus said, having eyes, you don't see. Having your natural eyes, He said, you can't see this kingdom. He said, you've got to have the inner eyes of the inner man, the spiritual sight. And He said, having ears to hear these natural things, He said, you don't hear the Spirit. The Bible said, in what the Spirit saith unto the churches, you don't hear that. So you've got to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. It's not man speaking, but God speaking unto you. This is why people get so frustrated, so tore up. Oh, how happy you can be when you see these things, and how glad you'll be, and how wonderful it is to come into the real truth of God.
and come into the real services of God and to come into the real church of the living God and enter into the real church and the real preaching and get away from these things. It's just for the children out there, just for the babies. Going on, for the meat is for the strong. They have our reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So then we love you tonight. We love to shout with you, love to pray with you, love to fast with you, love to have a good time. All of this is wonderful. But I tell you, there's something else. There's something else. You love him? Okay. Let's sing this again. Room at the cross. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. That's what the cross is, the crossing from the natural into the spiritual. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing that song, I Love Him. Can we sing that song again? I love him, do you? I love him, all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Last night when the Lord spoke to me about the 32,000, I thought, Lord, you must be talking about the book. They say there's 32,000 promises in this book. And this must be what you're speaking of. You know, I don't know how to say it, as to term it, you know, as to with converts or in connection with the 34,000 churches. But I just thought, well, you know, maybe God meant out of 34,000 churches, we're somehow going to get the 32,000 promises to them, you know. Somehow or another. I don't know just exactly. But anyway, it says every promise is mine. So let's sing it again, sister. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing another chorus or two, and we're going to let you go. Used to sing that little chorus, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Singing, we're getting a lot of mail out of Jamaica, over in Grand Cayman, Jamaica. They sing this song. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Sing it with me. For we're longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus. Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shouting. Sing it one more time. For we're longing for Jesus. Do you really long for Jesus to come? Do you really truly have a longing and a desire for Him to come? The Bible said the love is appearing. Let's face it, folks. Many people in the world that say they're Christians, they're not longing for Jesus. As a matter of fact, they're dreading for Jesus to come back. Every day, they're putting it off, saying, wait a little longer, Jesus. For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels. Can you sing it just one more time? For we're longing for Jesus to come back, long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. You love Him? Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is in. Gone to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and He lives forevermore. I wonder how many of you really believe that sin is gone. You've heard me dwell on these things now for quite a number of days. How many of you believe that Jesus really truly came to make an end of sin? How many of you really believe that He did make an end of sin? Do you believe that? How many of you believe what the Bible says? Where the Bible said, and he that is born of God cannot sin. Come on, folks. Let's get in. You're going to wait too late. You're going to ride the fence. How many of you believe what the Bible says? He that is born of God cannot sin. Didn't say might not. Hallelujah. Brother James, it tastes good, don't it? Said, taste and see if the Lord's good. Hallelujah. James believes that. I can tell that. James is a studying man. You know, he's been down the trail for many years. He's seen the old brush arbors and whatever. He knows I'm telling the truth. It's sweet too. Glory to God when you realize you can't sin. You know, the devil just say, shut your mouth, Satan. There ain't no need of harassing me and beating on me and pecking me, you know, and trying to peck me to death and tell me that I'm going to slip up. That's down yonder. Get behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know why you do that? Because you got the victory. You got the victory. You believe what I'm telling you. Makes you happy too. See, that's what I say. When you know He done it, you want to praise Him, don't you? Don't you love Him? Don't you want to praise Him? Sure, because you know He done it. Boy, that gives you something to shout about right there. You're talking about revival. You get that down in your heart and you sure enough got revival. If you really believe your sins are gone, let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, Jesus came to make an end of sin. So then tonight, you are free from sin. Children of God, the evil one never touches you at any time. Never. You keep yourself through the righteousness of God and faith in the righteousness of God. So your sins are gone. They're gone. They'll never be back anymore. Never. See, not as the blood of bulls and goats, bringing again to God's remembrance as a continuation. Sin, but once and for all, our blessed, eternal, darling Savior put it away. Hallelujah. When He offered His own self as without spot and blemish, He put it away forever, and God never, 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 never sees it against us again. And one day the blood's going to come off the seat of atonement, and He's going to see sin as to the world out yonder. And the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. But He ain't never going to see it for you and I. You pass from death unto life, you'll never come into condemnation. You're not going to come into the judgment so God can judge you. Nay, you'll come to be rewarded according to the deeds that you've done. But you won't be there to be judges of God. You'll be there to judge the world. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're members in particular. You're a holy, godly people. You're sons and daughters of God. Why would I take my son and say, "See here, fellow. See here, George Jr. You stand right there. I know you're my son, but I'm just going to see if I'm right about that." Who knows, you might not be my son. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. How much more does God know them that belong to Him, know His sons? He's going to stand you out there and say, "See here, let's see if you're my son." And then if you are His son, He's going to stand you out there and say, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's see if you got more good and bad or more bad and good. Got to weigh you in the balances." You know that's foolishness, folks. It's like I said a number of times, if God's going to catch me up before the tribulation period and take me into heaven and bring me back in Revelation 19 and dwell with me for 1,000 years, and call me His bride, take me to the marriage supper over there in the book of Revelation, and then set up the millennium so we can have a honeymoon. And then after all of this, it says, "See here, young lady, I want to see if you belong to me. I want to see if you're straight." 1,000 years, we have a heavenly time together. And He says, "Come on, I don't know. We might not continue this thing. We better look it over." You know that's foolishness. He ain't going to do that. Don't make you feel good. See, it all happened at Calvary, folks. It all happened at Calvary. It all happened. That's it. That was the end of the world, Peter said. So, well, if that was the end of the world, where are you at right now? I'm trying to tell you. Bible said, "Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven." Give the Lord a hand again. Let's praise the Lord. Can we do that? "Ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven." Why? You got something to rejoice about. Somebody says, "Well, bless God, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm waiting for that rapture. Waiting for that rapture." Well, that's okay. No problem. We'll enjoy heaven just as much while you wait. It's okay. You know, if you're wanting to get to California and go today, ain't no need to wait till next week. And ain't no need to fall out with the other fellow just because he went a week early and you did. I'm just trusting as you'll get there. I'm hoping as you'll get there. I'm hoping you'll make it. But I'm thankful because I made it. I made it. Now you look at me with a hollow expression after you just declared you was up there. And then you look at me kind of hollow-eyed like, you know, like, "Well, I know I am, but..." You know, that's back to judging the lady after the 1,000 years. You either did or you didn't. You either are or you ain't. You know, you either believe this or you don't. You either was translated into the kingdom of God as to new birth, or you wasn't. Now, if you was, raise your hand. All right, once and for all, no more backsliding. On as much as I bless God, you've got to allow for the backsliding, Brother Pike, because we've got to have something to do. But the Bible said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death, and healed their backslidings. He sent His word. He healed
Somebody said, well, what about all these good folks that went out from us? I've told you again and again. The Bible said, if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were not of us. All right. God's not got a backsliding heifer for a wife. He called Israel a backsliding heifer. See, he's not married to a backsliding heifer. He took a bride out of the Gentiles, folks. And we're his bride tonight, once and for all, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, because the evil one never touches us. You say, well, what are you doing preaching to us? I'm trying to perfect your faith. Listen, said the ministry set there for the perfecting of the saints. I've said this a lot of times. I'm not set here to perfect you from dipping and chewing, dancing with the other man's wife. See, if the blood of Christ can't cleanse you from sin, I can't cleanse you. If that wasn't sufficient, we ain't going to have nothing else. That cleanses. I'm just here to perfect your faith. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. Your faith in what? In these 32,000 promises. See, exceedingly great, mighty promises. I'm here to perfect your faith in what I'm telling you. Because you can't believe till you know. And then if you know, you're a little farther down the trail. You're a little more perfect in the things of God as to believing His program, His plan, because you know more about it. So I'm telling you more about it so you can believe the more. Encouraging you to believe it. Perfecting your faith. For the things of God have an end and you're going right on to it. So I'm telling you all these beautiful things so you can just believe from glory to glory, from translation to translation, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, moving right on now. See? Word right on into heaven. You want to sing that little song? It's called, This Is Like Heaven to Me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. I'm shouting the victory. I'm shouting the victory. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Now Jesus said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Isn't that right? Amen. This is the victory. He said, you rejoice. Be of good cheer. Because I've done it all. I've done it all. I've done it all. He said, I've overcome the world. So I said, Lord, but how can I rejoice? I've not overcome the world. He said, son, when I overcame the world, I did it for you. So you rejoice now. I've overcome the world. You be strong in the power of my might. You be righteous because of me. You be healed because of my stripes. You rejoice and have a good time. Go on your way rejoicing, serving God, joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. How do we get the joy and peace? Every time I think of what He done for me, it brings me joy. And every time I think that I've entered into His rest because of His works, I cease from mine, it brings me peace. And every time I think about being godly, I say, oh, glory to God, I'm righteous because of Him. And I enjoy my righteousness. I'm clean from the world. Isn't that right? Let's sing this little chorus. Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was the band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot.
coming to carry me home. How do you feel like evangelizing the world now and taking the glad tidings of great joy? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Introduce you to the Savior. Let me introduce my friend to you, the songwriter said. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. So wonderful to be a Christian, folks. Don't you think it's time that we spread it out a little bit now and share this with somebody? Don't you? You're fed at the Master's table. My Gracie and Dale, Cynthia, they sing that song, "Nobody Wants to Work in My Fields." They all want to sit around my table, but nobody wants to work in my fields. The fields, Jesus said, it's the world. And they're white unto harvest. And go into all the fields, he said, are all the world. Don't you want to launch a program for God? Wouldn't you like to do a little extra? Pray fast a little more. Give a little more of your time and substance. Wouldn't you like to stretch out a little more? Jesus is coming. And folks, remember when we stand before him, that's the end of the trail. Whatever we've done at that time, that's all there is. Can't do no more then. Whatever you're doing now is what's going to be compiled there as to your reward. Don't be foolish. Listen at me, I beg of you, don't be foolish. Don't lay up treasures in this world where thieves break through and steal and moth corrupts. For wherever your treasure is, it'll keep your mind there. It'll keep your heart there. It'll keep your interest there. You'll find your labors there. But lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and where moth doesn't corrupt. See, lay them up in heaven. Do something for God. Put your time, your mind, your substance. Love him with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your heart. Let's do that. Let's love the Lord that way. Let's do something for God. I was thinking a little early. I'd like to get with Mike. Take one of those little army tents. Brother Bob could use one of them. He's got a PA system. He could use one of them. We need to give him one of them, Mike. Let him get out there and do something for God. And every soul he wins, see, we'll have a part in it. Everyone, have a good time. I've had some good revivals in those little tents. So, let's do something for God. If you haven't done anything for God, let's do something for God. Let's move out and do something for Christ. Would you like to do that? I want us to sing one more song with your hands lifted up and your eyes closed. It's called "Jesus, Use Me." Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Sing it again. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a word that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cross be great, I'll... Can you sing it one more time, folks? Would you like for Jesus to use you? Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. You know, whether it's on the home front, folks,
in the offices or whether it's out on the field and helping us in Colorado, overseas, helping us in India, wherever it might be. See, you can help us. Brother Bill Cartridge and some of the others, they're working right now. Numbers of times they're found out there on the job. You know, they're working. God is writing it down. For the Bible said He's not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. And they bring in something to help that we might be able to help somebody. And in this, they're laying up treasures in heaven. Don't waste your time. And don't waste your substance. One more time now. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Or even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the be great, I'll work for you. Sing this with me now. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be. Shadows are passing away now. Ran the time. Sing it, folks. You're the folks that can sing it. Did you know that? You are the people that can sing that song. Because you know that that's the truth. You know what's happened to you. By faith, you're translated in what you believe. On the sea and the land and time. Sing it with me again. If you believe time has passed away, sing it again. Time shall be. Talking about eternal creatures now. If you believe that you're eternal and God's done the work, hallelujah, and you've entered into His rest now, all over, can't be lost, can't be a castaway. Jesus did it, sealed you unto the day of redemption. The evil one can't touch you. We ought to be able to sing it if you really believe that. If you don't, if you're struggling with it, let's get it over tonight. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time. Just got to sing one more song. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from the Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall. You know, got to get out of this intellectual wilderness wandering. Got to get out of this intellectual wilderness wandering. This intellectual indoctrination of religion. Got to get over the Jordan of that carnal mind, for to be carnally minded is death. Got to cross over that old serpentine course. Get on the other side. Got to have some leadership over there. You fellas ready to lead. You sisters ready to lead. Ready to go lead the world. See, you got to get over on the other side. You got to lead them. They've been led on this other side. They got seminaries and all kinds of things. See, but you got to get over on the spiritual side now. Joshua got them over there. They marched around the walls of Jericho, and the walls of Jericho crumbled to the ground. That's right. See, around they went. One church age and around they went, and another church age and around they went. Another church age, and then come the sevenfold life. Or then they all shouted, all of them shouted together, gave that one great triumph.
scream, all the trumpets sounded together and the wall shattered. Them's walls of opposition out yonder, but they're going to come down. They sang that song, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Let's sing that crossover to the other side of Jordan one more time. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee.